Hey, well, if y'all would go ahead and find your Bibles and open up to 1 John chapter 4, the end there, and we'll stand and read God's Word, and then we'll be seated after that. Thank you all for being here tonight. 1 John chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 17 and read through chapter 5, verse 5. I'll read aloud if you'd follow along in your copy of God's Word. The Bible says there in verse 17 of chapter 4, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Chapter 5, verse 1. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Would you pray with me? Father, tonight we thank you for the reading of your word, and then we get to study it and hear from it. Father, shape us through it, we pray. Give us submissive hearts and minds and souls and spirits, Lord, to your word. For we know, Lord, that your word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And before it, Lord, before you, we are naked and laid bare. And nothing is hidden from the sight of him to whom we must give an account. Lord, expose us tonight with your word as you see fit to do. Lord, we pray for those who have special, particularly difficult physical needs right now. We thank you that Katie has been kept safe thus far, and we pray for her as she has the port removed. And Lord, as she concludes the treatments that she's been enduring, Lord, we pray for complete healing for her from her cancer. We pray for Billy, Joy Simmons' brother, Billy Sims. Father, we pray that you please have mercy on this brother. And God, that the surgery, if it takes place on Wednesday, would be quite effective. And Lord, we pray that the cancer would be removed from his body, God, that he might live and continue to serve you. However, Lord, we know that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So we trust you in this fact, in this matter with him. But we do pray for him, God, and just ask you to be merciful. Others who struggle and are hurting right now, we think of Teresa not being with us again today. Lord, others who have disabilities and afflictions, we pray, God, that your mercy and your comfort, your grace would be evident in their lives on a daily basis, and that they would experience it every morning, and Lord, that they would look to you every day. Now, Lord, we pray again for the blessing upon the preaching of your word tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. 1 John chapter 4, we'll look together at this, and I want to share with you a message simply entitled, Overcomers. We're going to see 3 points from this passage of Scripture tonight. We're going to see the consummation of love. Now, I stole that from the heading that's in my New King James Bible for verses 17 through 19. I thought it was good, so I went with that, the consummation of love. In the next 2 verses, we're going to see the commandment to love. And then lastly, we'll see the certainty of love. So, first thing that we see is the consummation of love in verses 17 through 19. And this is really what John is getting at when he comes here, because he goes takes us right up to the end, the day of judgment, which all men will face. In verse 17, he says, love has been perfected among us in this. Now, if you'll go back to verse 12, I'd like to read 12 through 16, leading us up to verse 17, so that we can remember what the flow is here in these verses. So if you look at verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So how is his love perfected in us? We love one another. By this, verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. So the one who has the Spirit, as I told you last week, is one who sees and testifies, sees by faith and testifies that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. If you have the Spirit, you believe that with all of your heart. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Now it's from that that he goes on to this verse 17, where he begins to talk about love being perfected. This is about the fourth time that the word perfected has been used in this epistle. The first time it is used is over in chapter 5. You might want to note these. Chapter 2, verse 5. There he says this. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So that's chapter 2, verse 5. The next place is chapter 4, verse 12 that we just read. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. So in both of those places, we see that John is writing about the love of God being perfected in us. And if you'll continue to read, like in chapter 2, you see the context there continues to bear out obeying the commandment to love one another. So these are all tied together. Loving God, being loved by God, and then loving one another. When that happens, love is perfected. It continues to probably have that meaning here as well, but that perfect love allows us to have something on the day of judgment. What is that in verse 17? What do we have on the day of judgment? Boldness. That's right. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So that love that's perfected among us is something that equals us or results in us having boldness in the day of judgment. Now, the word perfected means this. It means to complete. It means to finish. It means to reach one's prescribed goal. It means to be full grown rather than being a child. So for John, when he's writing to the church, he is telling them that if they're loving one another, being after having been loved by God, believing in Christ, loving one another, then that love is perfected among them. And when that is happening, they are in that right relationship with God and that right relationship with their brother and sister in Christ, then they have boldness in the day of judgment. It's not something that they have to dread. So they're looking forward to that day. They have boldness in that day because he writes on there in verse 17, he says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, this might be something we would have to spend some time discussing. What in the world does John mean here? Because as he is, so are we in this world. To be honest with you, several things came to my mind in thinking about this. Perfect is the thing that came to mind, and I think context could bear that out. Because he goes on to talk about us having perfect love and being perfected. Being an overcomer is something that would could possibly be borne out in these verses, because Christ overcame, and if we are in Him and are in this love, then we too overcome. Or it could just simply be love, because if you think about it and you follow that pronoun, that masculine pronoun He, back to its what it is in place of, it is apparently God. Because if you go back up to verse 16 at the end of it, it's talking about God in all of this. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And then if you drop down now to verse 17, I don't mean to be complicated about this, just trying to figure this out. It says, because as he is, all right? He, if we take he there to be God, then God is what, according to verse 16? God is love. Because as he is love, so are we love in this world. We are those who've been loved by God, those who love God, and those who love one another. And then in verse 18, there is no fear in love. See how he just continues to point that out. So there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He's pointing out here the fear of judgment in that last day. And John is telling his readers that if you're in this love relationship with God and you're loving one another, then you don't dread that day. You're not afraid of that day like a day of torment, which someone who is not in Christ should view that day and view that there is going to be torment, not only on that particular day, but for all of eternity as they suffer under the wrath of God. Torment. We saw the rich man in Luke chapter 16 suffer torment when he was in the hell in Hades. He suffered torment there in the place of the unbelievers. But John here points out that the believer doesn't fear that. He's not afraid of that. Now here's the deal. The converse of that could be true. Let's say a Christian is not living among the church and loving brethren as they ought to. Perhaps they are truly a believer, but if they're not in that relationship with one another as they need to be, then they may not have that confidence. They may be saved so as by fire, like Paul would say, but they will not have that confidence. They will not necessarily have that boldness in the day of judgment. Now, I want to draw this out for you up here. I'm actually going to erase this, and hopefully this will make some sense for us when we think about this perfect love. I'm actually going to erase this and try to make it a little bit bigger for us to see. And I know y'all love my drawings whenever I do this. But this is pretty simple. So we're just going to put this circle up here, making it a little bit bigger. And we're just going to say that this is God. And we'll also say Christ. Okay? So here we have another circle here and another one here. So these two, this is person number one. This is person number two. All right, so this person right here experiences the love of God. So God loves this person. God is the one who initiated it. We love him because he first loved us. All right, so this person experiences the love of God, and then he loves God as well. So that love comes from God, and then that love goes back to God. All right? But God also loves this person. He has loved this individual. They have experienced it. But notice again, God initiated it. He loved them. How did that love take place? Through Jesus Christ. Through God giving His Son to die for our sins. But this person as well loves God back. Okay? So that's great. This is all very good. But that love is not perfected yet. Okay? This is not perfected. And these people cannot yet have boldness in the day of judgment if we understand everything that John is saying correctly. This love becomes perfected when this person loves that person, and this person loves that person. So it goes that way as well. And it's when this occurs that perfect love, according to 1 John, has transpired. And that results in boldness on the day of judgment. Okay? And again, we're just looking at kind of the context of how John is writing this. He's very black and white. It's this way or it's the highway with John. But it's very good for us to be reminded of this. We want to be people who have boldness on the day of judgment. And the love of God is perfected among us when this occurs, and then we have that boldness. All right. So that's 1 John 4:17-19. I hope that kind of makes sense for us as we kind of work our way through this. We love Him because He first loved us, but we do love Him. You know, if these things get broken anywhere, you know, if this part comes off, you experience the love of God, and then you love other people, there's a break here. John wants all the connections to hit in these relationships, both with God and with one another. So there's a lot of other things that are involved here. Belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ, believe in the name of Jesus Christ. These people also have the Holy Spirit of God. Each one of them do. And that is the thing that really allows us to be able to connect with one another and display that love. Now let's go to the next point. Is this the command to love? So you notice John never gets very far away from this. Again, as I've told y'all before, if you had a 5 or even 2 minute probably conversation with John, he's going to be talking to you about loving one another. Is the church loving one another? How are you loving one another? How have you loved somebody lately? In verse 20, he says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So this isn't anything new that we've heard. John repeats it. He repeats what we are used to hearing from him. You can't love God if you're not loving your brother. It's impossible. So why are we to love our brothers and sisters? It's because God has commanded us to do that. Verse 21, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And Jesus also commanded this. Jesus commanded us, I think it's in John chapter 14, that if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So Jesus taught this to his disciples, and then you can imagine John having heard that firsthand from the Lord, and now he's writing this epistle, and he's just reminded of all the things that he was taught by Jesus Christ himself. So you can see why he is just hammering this and emphasizing this so much, as we're going to see in John as we get there. So we do it because we love God foremost. We love him because he first loved us through Christ. He displayed this love. So we love one another because we love God. We love Jesus. There is no one way or the other. It's not God, but not the church. It's not the church, but not God. I've had neighbors in the past where they say that they read their Bible and they're strong Christian people. They have a strong belief in Jesus, but they just really don't want anything to do with the church. Folks, that just doesn't add up, okay? That doesn't add up with Scripture. And I've met many, many people who say, well, they just don't get in church, but they believe in Jesus. They read their Bible. Listen, folks, you can't have a Lone Ranger life, Christian life. You've got to be a part of the brethren. You got to be a part of the church. The judgment that was talked about previously is not one like I experienced with my dad many years ago. When I was a little boy, I walked in to the back room of a store that we used to have. And my mom was sitting there watching soap operas, and I had my brother's BB gun. And I went in there, and I looked at my mom, and I said, "I bet you it's not cocked." And she said, "You better not pull that trigger." And I pulled it up to my shoulder and pulled the trigger, and it shot a BB. We're in the back living room there. And it went almost right in the middle of the big picture window that was in that part of the store, back apartment of the store. And it left a hole there, and that hole is still there to this day because that store is right there next to my parents' home now. Well, my mom obviously got on to me, but my dad was gone at the time, and I was scared out of my mind. And the only thing that I remember at this point from that is that when my dad got home, I was hiding behind the television. You know, back in that day, you could hide behind a television. But these days, you can't hide behind a television. But back then, there were big old televisions sitting on the ground. And I remember getting down behind that television and cowering from my dad. And the only thing I remember is looking around, seeing him come around. I think he had his belt in his hand. If I didn't get a beating from that, I should have. That is not the kind of boldness that we are able to have. The boldness that John is talking about here is a boldness that's the consummation of love. It's the fullness of it because the command has been given and we've obeyed the command. The thing about this as well is if you think about the relationship of God and Jesus, God, as we've seen in the Gospel of John, loved the Father, loved the Son, and then the Son did what the Father said to do. And that's really what the Lord really wants from us, is to obey His commandments, to love one another. Now, I want to ask y'all a little question, a little pop quizzy poo for you tonight. From the gospel, from the First John, from the Epistle of First John, what are His commandments? There are two major commandments. What are they? Okay, say again. Okay. All right. That's close, but we need to get a little bit more specific than that, and I think it's really important that we get more specific than that. Say again. All right, there you go. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. And that reason we point that out is it's impossible to love God if you don't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? You have to go through Christ in order to love the Father. All right, so that's the first major commandment that John would give. What's the second? Okay, well, what is his second commandment? That's what we're looking at here, the commandments. The first one is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. What would the second one? To love one another. All right? And he gives us those back over in chapter 2, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. All right, very good. Let's go to our next point, and that's the certainty of love in verses 1 through 5. All right, this gets a little tricky here. Y'all have to follow along pretty closely. I know it's tough on this Sunday night. But listen closely as we work through this, verses 1 through 5. He begins there and he says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." All right, so he brings this up again about being born of God. Remember, 1 John is one of the great books in the Bible to look at to have assurance of salvation. All right, so you can look at this and you can say, "All right, I don't really believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Okay, if you don't believe that, then you can rest assured you are not born of God. All right? No questions asked. But he says here, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. Whoever believes that. And then we go on from there and it says, and whoever And everyone who loves him, him being capital H, so that's God, and everyone who loves God, who begot, now another way you could translate that begot is fathered. God has fathered them. And everyone who loves him, who fathered them, who begot him, also loves him who is begotten of him. What does that mean? Tell you what, let me ask you this. Where does that show up in this diagram right here? You notice what it says. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Where does that show up right here? In this part right here, right? That's what he's talking about. See, God begot this person, and God begot this person. So then, if that person knows that this person is begotten by God, then they are brothers and sisters, so they love one another. That's what he's saying there. It's kind of hard to figure it out with all these begots that he puts in there. But it's just another way of John saying the same thing that he's been saying all along, that we're supposed to love one another. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, he didn't write that the way we would expect him to. We would expect him to write, by this we know that we love God, when we love the children of God and keep His commandments. But he didn't. He put the children of God first. By this we know that we love one another, when we love God and keep His commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. All right, so as we look back at this, we see here that he's hitting this at a different perspective, a different angle, maybe to shake us up and wake us up a little bit, saying things in a new way, but he's really saying the same thing. We love God, we keep God's commandments, we love one another. We love one another, we love God, keep His commandments. We keep His commandments, they're not burdensome. Why? Because we're born of God and it's what we want to do as His children. The commandments of God are not burdensome. He goes on talking about our faith and overcoming the world, and the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Now, what faith is this? In verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, in all of this, we might would say, wow, this is really all maybe up to me, because I've got to make sure I'm loving everybody right and all these things, and if I'm not, maybe I'm not going to have boldness in the day of judgment. But then he kind of comes back around, and he says, the way that we overcome the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's antithetical to God. It's those things, rather, it's selfishness rather than sacrificial love. And he says to them, listen, it's not really about that, but it's faith in Jesus who has accomplished everything that needs to be done. And as we're in Him, then we're living that out in our lives. Overcomes the world is found like three times in these verses. In verses 4 through 5. Notice how important that is as we're wrapping up here. Verse 4. Let's read back through it and just notice how important it is. For whatever is born of God, you notice that again found in this context. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That might bring to mind a verse for you in John chapter 16. In John 16, Jesus told his disciples, in the world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. So are we the overcomers ourselves? Christ has overcome, and our faith is not in us, is it? Our faith is in Christ who overcame. And then we live out the Christian life, which is a lot of this stuff that we have up here. to give you 3 points of application, we'll be done. Number one, God's love enables those who love Him to be bold in the day of judgment. Therefore, I live as an overcomer, just as Jesus has overcome. We live that out in our lives. I ask you this, what is your view of the day of judgment? It's coming whether you believe it or not. What is your view of that day? When you will stand before God, before Jesus Christ, and you will give an account. And by the way, both the Christians and non-Christians will do that. There's places in the Bible, 1 Peter says that even unbelievers will stand before Him and give an account. Every single person will do that. What is your view of that day? Do you feel at this time that you will have boldness, or do you have fear? Is it a day of torment for you? So we must ask ourselves those questions. Number two is this. God's love enables those who love Him to love one another. Therefore, as a lover of God, I sacrificially love the church. Question. How have I loved and been loved by brothers and sisters in Christ lately? It's a great question for us to think about. Many times we think about doing something, but I ask you this. When's the last time you forgave someone for a wrong that they committed? The Bible says in a couple of places that love covers a multitude of sins. So when's the last time you forgave somebody? We are easily offended in our society. The church should be a place of forgiveness and restoration. Are you able to forgive? Here's another example of love. When's the last time you admonished someone? Are you willing to admonish a brother or sister in Christ in their walk with the Lord, that they might stop sinning, perhaps, or might be helped to grow in some area in their lives? That's uncomfortable to do, but are you willing to love the brother and sister enough to do that? Here's a more practical one, maybe. All these are practical, but the last one is one that comes up quite often. Are you willing to sing at church? Did you know that the Bible tells us that we're to have the Word of Christ dwelling richly in us, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? There used to be people, Andy Devaney is his name, he would not sing in church for anything in the world. He called himself a Christian. I believe he probably is a Christian, but he doesn't sing in church. Why in the world would you not sing in church? We should open our mouths and love one another enough to sing to one another, because that's a wonderful time, the way in which we can teach and admonish one another. What about hospitality? When's the last time you loved a brother or sister in Christ enough to open up your home and to have a family or have someone over to your house for Christian fellowship? Do you love the church? The last one I'll ask you is this. Are you serving the church? Are you serving in the church? Are there ways in which you are actually sacrificially giving of yourself for the body? Then the last point is this. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is born of God and overcomes the world by faith. Therefore, we believe, or I believe, and I speak. What do I mean by that? It's just simply saying this. This love relationship that we have, and this thing that we have from God, is not something we're to keep to ourselves. If we believe this is true, and that through Jesus is the only way we can overcome, or any person can overcome, then we must not only believe that, but we must speak that. We must, as God gives opportunity, pursue ways in which we can share the gospel, the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, so that they would know the love of God through His Son. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Please bless it now to our hearts as we go out this week. May we not keep it to ourselves. Father, burden us with our responsibility as believers to share with others who Jesus is. And I pray we would be faithful to do that. Father, I pray as well that our love would grow, that the love of God would be perfected in us. That as you are, Lord, that we would be in this world. That we would be loved by God, that we would love God, and that we would love one another. Lord, let it be true. Grow this in our understanding. The seed of your word which is planted tonight, we pray that it would bring forth much fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. For the glory of God and for the good of your church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here tonight. You're dismissed. Have a great week.